Hi, I'm Scott Mullett, and I'm here at the beautiful Woodmark Hotel along the shores of Lake Washington in Kirkland. We're about to sit down with all seven of our city council people to find out just a little bit more about each of them. Please join us. We're here this afternoon with Rain Marshoni. She's newly elected city council person here for the city of Kirkland. Doreen, thank you very much for coming by to visit.
Hey, you're welcome.
We are going to go through a series of 10 questions where we are going to let the citizens of Kirkland and our viewers get to know you a little bit better.
Okay.
So we'll start off with, they're going to go from kind of an easier response question to more in-depth and thought-provoking.
Okay.
I hope.
Okay.
Maybe they might be the reverse sometimes.
Yeah.
So we're going to start off with, Doreen, do you have any hidden talents?
I would say that some of my hidden talents, or maybe amateur talents, are musical. I used to, in my younger days, as a child, dance and danced in shows and things like that, and then I played the piano and I liked to sing and I've participated in choirs and things like that. So it's kind of, that would be my hidden talents,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
So what were some of your more memorable shows that you might have done?
As a little kid, I used to do USO shows.
Okay.
And the girl that I danced with was really the star, but I got to be in those and participate, and that was a lot of fun.
So. Mm-hmm. Did you travel?
No, it was just locally. It was just locally,
mm-hmm.
working with the USO in Seattle.
Okay. And in terms of on the musical side, did you have an instrument of choice?
I took piano lessons for years, took voice lessons, and then, just participated in church choirs and
mm-hmm.
groups like that, but
mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it a lot. So.
Did you have a particular piece on piano that was your signature piece? People would say, hey, Doreen, play something for me, and you'd have your go-to?
I have a brother who is an excellent pianist, and he was a little intimidating to have your older brother that could do as well as he did to, be the show person. So I didn't do as much, so yeah.
Okay. So question number two. Well, along those lines, and this was random, so this is not planned, what song always makes you happy when you hear it?
I think, if I have the name right, it's a Wonderful World, that song.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of who sings it right now, but, you hear it a lot. So.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly who it is. You know what? Four questions from now, it'll come to me.
Okay.
So what do you like about that song?
I just like it. It's very happy. I like the sentiments of it, and it's very optimistic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it one of these?
Do you have it at home, and you occasionally say, you know what, boy, I'm feeling down. I wanna.
But you'll hear it on the radio or hear it. It'll just come about. So, but it is, Even during the holidays, they'll play it with Christmas music.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Louis Armstrong,
that's right.
I got it on this question.
I didn't have to wait.
Yeah, he has a wonderful voice.
Yeah, so it's a song I've always liked.
Okay, good. So next, mm-hmm. is there a food that you would be happy to never eat again?
Yes, liver. That's been that way for years. I tried it several times, cooked different ways,
uh-huh.
and that's just one food I would never eat. So,
it's a very popular, the liver and onions
and such is very popular.
I think is especially in the South. You'll see that. You don't see
it
on menu items
here very
often.
In
certainly in Kirkland restaurants that I found.
But, yeah, you're right. Yep.
But it's like what about
the taste
liver?
Is just ghastly. I just don't like it. I even was at somebody's house one time. They were cooking it, and it. However they were doing it, it just smelled wonderful what they had put in with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, maybe it had been wrong all these years, and I tried it, and it was, what a mistake.
Well, what have I been missing?
I haven't been missing anything.
Nope,
going back to no liver. So.
Uh-huh. And was that something that you, as a child, you were forced to eat? Yes.
I wasn't really forced to, but my mother would cook it at home,
mm-hmm.
and I just wouldn't eat it, so
yeah.
tried it.
I can honestly say that's one dish I have not tried before.
Yeah.
Yes, the liver. Like I've seen it on the menu, maybe. Now I'm definitely not going to try it.
Yeah, right.
no recommendation from you. Okay, so now we're moving into the most interesting person that you've met. This doesn't have to be a celebrity or just, but, you know, someone is just most interesting. Doesn't have to be, you know, a role model, well, but just someone who's very interesting.
I was fortunate enough several years ago to meet Quincy Jones. Mm-hmm. He was coming to Seattle to be honored for something. I don't know what, but, you know, he went to Garfield High School, so it may have had something to do with that. And someone had a reception for him, invited me to come, and I got to meet him. And I think he is just a talented man, a genius, mm-hmm. with all that he's done. And so he's definitely the most interesting person I've ever met.
So in terms of the, you think that's partially because of your musical hidden talent?
Maybe, and there may be some bias that he's from Seattle, so, uh-huh. you know, because I'm from this area, so there could be, but no, I just think he's a great talent, mm-hmm. no matter where he had lived and mm-hmm. what he'd done. And I suppose the music has something to do with that.
Did you get a chance to sit down and really talk with him?
Just in a group, so that mm-hmm. was all. So, mm-hmm. yeah,
well, you know, any interesting takeaways that you can recall from the time with him in terms of embarking some of those genius knowledge that he has?
And no, I think we were probably talking about whatever, you know, where he was being honored. I think Seattle University was honoring him, and so we, you know, it was just what he was in town for and what his latest projects were at that time. But that's been a number of years ago. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it was really exciting. Yeah.
Oh sure. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And he's had such a long, distinguished
right.
career
mm-hmm.
in the musical field, both
right.
as a performer and right. but primarily as a producer and
yeah.
a talent
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
spotter. I think that's a very unique skill too.
Right.
The
yeah.
talent spotter.
Yeah.
There's
right.
so many performers. How do you pick?
Yeah. And I actually know a woman who's now deceased, but who was a very good friend of his who grew up with him. And he was always very kind to her and sent her on wonderful trips mm. and things like that because they'd been friends since childhood. And he'd stayed very close to her. So I got to hear more about him from her. So that was fun too. So,
mm-hmm.
so I felt
mm-hmm.
like I knew him even before I met
right,
him.
Right, so. Right. You had some yeah. some
right.
background there
and, yes.
with Quincy. And again, not this was not, you know, I didn't know what was going to come up the subject matter beforehand, but what sound do you love?
Laughter.
Uh-huh.
I think the sound of laughter.
Uh-huh. What about it?
Just because it's joyous and bright and just know that people are happy and, you know, they're probably doing what they want to do and enjoying themselves. I really enjoy laughter.
Mm-hmm. Any particular type of laughter?
No.
Because there's different sounds
there
of
are,
laughter.
And there are people with, you know, with unique laughs that, you know, there are just some people that it's more fun to hear them laugh than other people. I'm not a loud, you know, laugher, but there's some people that just have great laughs.
So. Mm-hmm. I know for my youngest daughter has a delightful, literally it's a laugh that when she laughs, you almost just have to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's contagious. Almost in that regard. What, you know, for yourself, what are some of the things that really get you to laugh?
I don't think, I'm trying to think, not so much people telling jokes, but just funny things, you know, like I like to watch Jay Leno on Monday nights when he does the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of those are things that make me laugh out loud when I'm watching that part of the show, and I like, you know, I like comedies and, just sort of subtle humor I like too.
Mm-hmm.
So the
mm-hmm.
ones that kind of make you think about, oh yeah, that's funny, you know.
So not necessarily the Benny Hill.
Yeah, right. Not the more blatant slapstick I'm not uh-huh. as fond of. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever laughed till you cried?
Oh, you know, yes, I know I have, but I couldn't tell you what at, but I know I have. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a great, great emotional.
Yeah. Right, yes.
You're hitting both spectrums
right.
there as you do that. All right. Other than your own profession, what job would you have most like to do or currently would most like to do?
I'd like to be the commissioner of baseball.
Oh, yeah, me too. Why?
Yeah.
What? Okay, we're going to talk about this one. So why would you like to be the commissioner
just
of baseball?
Just because I've been a baseball fan since I was a kid, fifth grade. We moved to a school in South Seattle. And opening day of baseball season for the Seattle Rainiers was a half day of school.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody walked to Six Stadium and went to the games. And I've been a fan ever since. And I really like the game and like following it. And I just think that would be a perfect job. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you get the job. You're the commissioner
right.
of baseball.
No.
What would be some of the things you would do?
Well, I think baseball needs salary caps, and I think working on that so they're not, you know, paying these huge salaries out to players, or so that you don't have teams that have the best teams money can buy, mm-hmm. and that there's got to be some balance in that. And I think, you know, working with the players' union on some of these issues would be, it'd be challenging, but I think it'd be fun at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, being part of the game and get to travel around the country to all the different baseball parks, that would mm-hmm. be a good part of the job. So.
Okay, and here's the big one that they're talking about now, instant replay.
Oh, yeah.
Because they started out with, is it a home run or not, but now they're talking about bringing it in because of all the errors we saw in the playoffs this year. What do you think of instant replay in baseball?
I mean, they're doing it in other sports, so why not do it in baseball? Do mm-hmm. it in football. So.
You don't think it destroys the sanctity of the sport?
Or I don't think so.
Yeah. Any other big items as commissioner?
No, not that I can think of right now.
More teams? Do they need more teams?
I think they're pretty good right now, so.
You think
that
they
one I haven't given a lot
expand
of
to, yeah, and expansion too. That's another I know that they've talked about a lot too.
Yeah, I just am not
bring
sure
to Europe
about that.
And have mm-hmm. the incorporate the teams in Japan. And,
no, I think they ought to just stay with this country and Canada too. So.
Yeah, the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Yeah. Montreal.
And Montreal too. You kind of forget about Montreal every once in a while for that. When faced with a challenging decision, what process do you go through in order to reach a decision?
I think I read all the materials that I can on the subject and try to balance out what I think, and then I talk to people who are knowledgeable on both sides of the issue and try to listen to what their reasons are and discuss with them why they're leaning a certain way, especially if they're on the opposite side of where I think I'm going to be, understand where they're coming from, and then, you know, make my final decisions.
So. Mm-hmm. Any examples or any decisions that were more challenging in particular and more gratifying to reach that
conclusion? Well, there was a major challenge when I was with HopeLink, and we had a partnership with some agencies and built a housing development called Avondale Park for homeless families. Mm-hmm. And it was a good idea that we went together as three agencies to build this, but it didn't work out to operate it that way. So we had to decide, were we going to go in and be the sole operator of it? And that was very challenging. And HopeLink did decide. Actually, that final decision wasn't made till after I retired. But I was part of the original decision to go in, and that HopeLink should take it over. Mm-hmm. Keep the other agencies as partners serving families and young adults, but that HopeLink should take over the operation.
So. And how did that
work out? And I think it's worked
out
fine, yeah. And I think it's going just fine. So.
Mm-hmm. Any decisions where you've gone through that process and at least I know I do sometimes in hindsight, I think, oh, you know what?
Well, see, and that's what originally the decision was, we'd have three agencies operating this, and we had to say, no, sounded good, doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It confused people that were making donations, who am I donating to? And we had to say, this is, you know, this can't work this way. So
right.
We thought it was good, but it didn't mm-hmm. work. So.
Right. And yeah. Just kind of go.
Yeah, and when you have to admit when things aren't working that you made a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Here we go. For what do you think the secret to a good life is?
I think of having a positive attitude, seeing where you can make a difference, where you can help out, thinking about your family and making sure they're cared for. I think that and seeing what you can do in your community and the world is a good life.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that you found that secret?
I do. I think I have. I think I've been very fortunate.
Mm-hmm. Anything within that sphere that you wish, oh, you know, I wish I could have done this or done that instead?
Not really. Not mm-hmm. really. I just, you know, I think we often have opportunities come up that we don't, you know, that life happens and the opportunities come up, then we decide whether to take advantage of them or not. So you sort of being at the right place at the right time can be a big opportunity. When I was running for my third term as mayor in Redmond and I lost, you know, there was a lot of people, you know, saying, woe was me, but if I hadn't lost that election, I never would have been the head of HopeLink.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at, you know, because 4 years later, that job wouldn't have been there. So,
right.
So it was there, and it was an opportunity I could take advantage of. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we'll talk about inspiration.
Okay.
Who or what is some of your biggest inspirations right now? Or maybe in the past?
Yeah, both. I think we have, you know how when you're watching the Miss America pageant and the young woman is asked a question like that,
mm-hmm.
we decided in my family that the answer is always Mother Teresa. So,
okay. Anyone who's asked this has to answer Mother Teresa.
Right. You can't go wrong. So you just don't go blank on it. But, you know, I'm trying to think now. This is a tough one of who have been inspirations to me. I would say that one person who certainly was a mentor to me and a strong person is Doris Cooper, who was a mayor of Kirkland. Mm-hmm. And so she was mayor in Kirkland when I became mayor of Redmond. And even though it's different forms of government, she was very helpful to me in, you know, in how to be a politician and making policy and things like that. So she really was a mentor to me. And I mm-hmm. guess that's what I'm kind of thinking of as inspiration. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. the people that have mentored me.
Mm-hmm.
Another person who was a mentor to me is Father William Tracy. You're too young to remember this, but there used to be a show on here called, I think it was called Challenge, and it was a Rabbi Levine, Father Tracy, and a minister, and the minister seemed to change from time to time. But it was a very wonderful show that used to be on Sunday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And Father Tracy was the chaplain at Holy Names, where I went to high school.
Oh.
But he also he would stop in, but it wasn't, he wasn't there full-time running this, but it was called the Catholic Information Center, and he was supervised the woman who ran it. And so he would stop in there, I think, have an office. And I would be walking from Seattle U down to where I worked in the exchange building, and I would stop in there and get books I needed for classes out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And he started asking me to read his scripts for the TV shows.
Mm.
And that was such it showed that he had faith in me, and he mm-hmm. would ask for my comments, and I was mm-hmm. so thrilled that he... that here was an adult I admired who really wanted to know what I thought about mm-hmm. something.
Certainly it helps
yeah.
build self-confidence
right,
in,
yeah.
in that
right.
there
that's,
too.
Right, that's what I was mm-hmm. looking for, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really a self-confidence builder for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
And in terms of, you know, the overall actions that he might have done within, you know, community involvement
right.
or anything like that, did that also have an impact on you
it,
to
it
go
probably
into
did, but
the,
I,
the,
I
the
can't
service
tell
area?
You if it did or not. I know CLU, too. I can't put my finger on what it was, but it was something about going to school there that inspired me to go into the service areas. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you were to look ahead 10 years from now, what would your hope for Kirkland be? Vision?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My hope for Kirkland would be that we have a downtown that has kept the character that we all think of as downtown Kirkland, whatever it may be to each person, but that we have shops that are filled, restaurants that are thriving, you know, places just to walk around the downtown, that we've taken advantage of the marina and maybe expanded it and used that as a tourist attraction. And I would like to see Totem Lake developed into a retail center, maybe similar to University Village,
mm-hmm.
and the neighborhood's just happy with everything that we're doing at City Hall, that we've gotten the revenues back and things are working just smoothly. So,
mm-hmm. Within that that vision or plan, is there anything in particular that you think the citizens of Kirkland can specifically do to help to achieve that?
Well, I think they can help by keeping themselves informed. There's so many opportunities on the Kirkland City website just to get reports or notices of meetings that are going on, because a lot of time people don't pay attention until, you know, there's going to be a change on their corner or whatever, and things have been going on for months and meetings have been happening, decisions have been made, and all of a sudden you have people running into City Hall saying, we have to stop this. And
mm-hmm.
so we need to be sure that people are getting everything that they need, and you can't force them to read it, but just to encourage people to look at you know, what's going on and keep track of what's going on in the city so that they can be informed and have their input and do some positive things for the city. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Doreen, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I
appreciate you coming to join us here, and good luck as you begin your first term here with the Kirkland City Council.
It's going to be fun.
I hope so.